Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news, interviews from the biggest names in the industry, and game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll. Here's your host, the man with the best beard in daily fantasy, Crazy Gaby.
Howdy. Welcome. As the voice said, I am Crazy Gaby, hanging out here for another action-packed late-night podcast. We got a threesome today, boys and girls at home. Dean 78904, how do you do, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Gaby?
Not too shabby. And Stevie TPFL, the zombie version, hanging out with us here at a cool, crisp, and calm 3:30 a.m. Eastern time. What up, big dog?
Who is this Dean guy you talk of?
Dean, care to explain yourself? It seems as though already, 30 seconds into the podcast, you are being asked to justify your existence.
I don't. We've met before. I guess I'm just not that memorable. I don't know. Stevie, you don't recall meeting me?
You were that really short guy, right?
I am short, sure. There's a lot of ways to describe me. Short is definitely one.
Trying to remember now. Were you the guy up on the pole at Vegas?
I would never. I would never stoop.
Okay. I'm trying to put faces to names.
Was he doing karaoke by chance?
No, he was definitely up on the stage dancing.
Oh, dude, I can crush karaoke like it's nobody's business.
I have a song
that will just bring the house down every time.
Your Daily Fantasy Fix crew for Thursday, August 27th, ladies and gentlemen. Just want to throw one thing out there, Dean, before we get started. You tend to have an issue with me when I say 100% all in on a player. You always stop me and you say, well, come on now. This is my Dean impression. Come on now. You really going to play him in 100% of your lineups? Well, then don't say 100%. Don't say all in. You do that.
Yeah,
that
is sure.
That is something you do. Well, tonight, Dean, I had Justin Verlander in 100% of my lineups the night before. As I noted on the podcast, I had Jonas Cespedes in 100% of my lineups. So I'm just telling you right now that you better not doubt me, because when I say all in, I mean all in.
I'm sorry. Were we supposed to prepare humble breaks? I wasn't ready for that.
It's more like less a humble brag and more just kind of wanting to put you in your place. So
okay. Well, the next what I'm saying is that a lot of times you're being hyperbolic, and
hyperbolic.
Yes, a lot of times you don't actually put those guys on 100% of your lineup. You get excited. You say Cole Calhoun's a great play, and you know
I had Cole Calhoun in 100% of my lineups that night as well. FYI.
Well, then you must have like 50 of the same lineups over and over because everything's 100%.
No, I find certain spots I like less and I swap guys in and out. You know, I was telling the RG chat earlier tonight, if you were one of the lucky few to be graced by the presence of myself, Dean, and Stevie at the same time, that my method is I build like 50 lineups and I'll, you know, say I have five pitchers I like or whatever. Then I'll separate those into 10 different shell lineups. And then I'll take each of those shells and I'll swap two or three players in and out in each of those 10. I can bang out 10 unique lineups in 5 minutes, put in like 50 unique lineups, as long as I have the requisite preparation done within like 30 minutes. And I've got it down to a science at this point.
Five pitchers and 100% of your lineups.
Well, I'm saying that is like a typical night. Tonight, I was a little pressed for time. I liked Verlander. I didn't like the fact that if I took any of the high-end guys, like your Chris Sales, I think David Price was on the slate tonight. I didn't have as much time as normal because I had a few things pop up during the day. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to go all in on Justin Verlander tonight. I like the price tag. He lets me fit everybody I want without having to finagle things and play subpar options. And it happened to work out. That's all I'm saying.
Congratulations.
Okay, so I just wanted to throw that out there. But listen, if we're talking about humble brags, let's humble brag for our colleague, Draft Cheat, the draft cheater himself. He already put out enough humble brags probably to fill a lifetime, though, with his celebratory tweet of, it's good, Jimmy, or something along those lines, currently winning like $180,000.
Yeah, well, the thing with the draft cheater is that he's known as the lead of the fan club of Jimmy, Slippin' Jimmy. So
yeah, right.
And Jimmy, he stacked against him. Not only that, he stacked it against Slipper Jimmy of Milwaukee. He won. He took down. And the last thing that put him over the top was Jason Kipnis, who earlier in the season he previously said had no upside. So it's just the perfect story. And by the way,
Jimmy Nelson blocked Draft Cheat on Twitter as well, too.
Do we know the backstory in that or no?
I don't know about the backstory. You want to talk about like the cherry on top of a perfect story. The fact that Jimmy Nelson, Draft Cheat's man crush, blocked him on Twitter, and then DC, you know, it could be the scorned lover narrative if he decides to just go all out and stack against Nelson.
I'm going to start like saying some really mean things to some really good pitchers. And hopefully they block me, and then maybe it's going to work for me as well.
Absolutely. And Stevie, by the way, I don't want to leave you out of this discussion. Sorry to kind of put you in a corner for a second. Go ahead and tell the good people what it is you've been working on and why the hell it is you are up at 3:40 a.m. Eastern on a Thursday morning / Wednesday night.
Well, first of all, I kind of want to point out one thing with DC.
Yeah.
The Mega Gold Glove or whatever it was?
The
tonight.
Mega Super De-Duper Gold Purple Platinum Glove.
Wherever he won 100 grand. Let's just be honest for a second.
Okay.
It was his first lineup. Like, it was Uno number one, his first lineup. So I think, like, Jimmy Nelson blocked him and he, like, instantly made that lineup.
Yeah.
So it, like, puts a cherry even more on top of everything. I just think it's perfect.
By the way, I actually thought of a humble brag. I'm going to fire it out there. You fired one out there, I'll fire one out there as well.
You going to talk about your ticket win, your qualifier win or whatever?
Oh, no. Nobody cares about that. I'm talking about if you would have tuned in today or yesterday at Grinders Live, 5:30 on RotoGrinders.com.
Ooh. 5:30 Eastern, Dean.
5:30 Eastern is correct. 2:30 because 2:30 on the West Coast, the best coast.
That is what happens when it's 5:30 on the Eastern Coast. Just
if you, I'm just doing the math for some people out there. You never know.
Right, fair enough.
I called the Justin Verlander CGSO.
You actually said CGSO.
I did. Playback.
So were you happy for your own for your own tout when he gave up a hit?
No.
I was just saying at that point, like you want your tout to be accurate, right? Like, you're not going to get very many chances to be that accurate.
No, I was accurate. It was a CGSO. It wasn't CGSONOH.
A B C D E F G. H-I-J-K, L-M-N-O-P. It is time to move forward to the podcast. And we'll get to the lineup review now. I'm going to stay out of this part. I'm just going to give a shout-out to our man at the Leaf Node. A leaf like what is on a tree. I would be very interested to hear where that name came from. It's a very unique name, at the Leaf Node. Usually if you're talking about an off-the-wall name, it's because somebody named themselves like, Girl Hunter 6969 or something like that, just something juvenile. This is actually a head scratcher.
Gabe, I'm going to cut you off. I'm sorry. Okay. I know the answer.
Okay.
Come on. Have you never seen Back to the Future?
No, I never have.
Oh, Stevie, do you know the answer to this or no?
I've actually seen that movie, but it's been a long time.
So there's a line where Biff Tannen once says, he goes, make like a leave and get out of here. And you hear Marty McFly say, it's make like a leave now I just butchered the line. Make like a tree and leave, you idiot. That's what Marty McFly says.
So Dean just failed again. All right.
What does that have to do with the Leaf Node?
That's got to be a correlation.
No,
I want confirmation.
That is the loosest correlation I've ever.
Yeah. There is
confirmation. That's worse than batter versus. That's worse than quoting batter versus pitcher with under 10 at bats.
Stay tuned. Stevie's here.
I was going to say, Stevie, I even included on the show notes for today, guys, I even included some of the more prominent BVP selections, if you guys took a look at that. So I figured I would make our special guest co-host a little more at home by speaking his language a little bit on the show notes. So without further ado, we're going to jump into that lineup. You gentlemen both have it in front of you, so feel free, one of you step in, start deconstructing. This is a tournament lineup specifically, by the way, at the Leaf Node. Made sure to let me know it's a tournament lineup. He was looking for upside and some lower-owned plays.
Go ahead,
I'm a big fan of this lineup. JSO's been swinging a really hot bat. Pujols had a good matchup tonight against Verlander, even though Verlander dominated the game. Pujols has been better against righties this season. Yep. Verlander has had the reverse splits, so the upside was there. Trout, on the other hand, he's been struggling. His price tag's still a little high on FanDuel.
Yeah.
I think there was other options in that price range, like Lorenzo Cain or guys like that with the same kind of upside. Kiki Hernandez is a guy I used a lot tonight. He had an opportunity with bases loaded. Didn't come through too big, but he didn't have a terrible game. Harrison was in play against the lefty. And then the Dodgers bats, Yasiel Puig and Rollins, both guys I was high on tonight. Yasiel Puig had the home run. Just a great ballpark, and Holmberg just absolutely struggles against righties. So I like the Jimmy Rollins play, 2,500 against a lefty. He's been hitting much better from the right side of the plate this season. So overall, I actually do like the lineup.
What about you, Dean? How are you feeling about this one?
Yeah, well, I know you didn't like it because it didn't have Justin Breaux in there, and you're saying 100% your lineup. So, but yeah, I was on Chris Sale as well, of course. He was a little prohibitive as far as your bats because Sale was so expensive, so you could not get too creative with your bats. He did get Trout in there along with Pujols. And I agree. I liked Pujols against Verlander tonight. Wait, last night.
You saying it without an L?
Saying what?
Pujols.
Yeah.
Pujols.
Oh, stop it. Really? Of all the words you mispronounced, you're going to call me on Pujols?
Sorry. Please continue. Please.
Yeah, don't nice call me. Don't call me on bad like pronunciation. We'd be here all night.
Albert. Okay. Albert. Prince. What? Fat Albert. The machine. The hip. He has so many different nicknames. I'll just call him that to satisfy you.
Guys, I'm not the machine. I'm Albert.
He's best versus righties. I think it's 27 of 34 home runs against righties this year. And
yeah.
Verlander has first splits. And the price was right. So I was perfectly fine with that play. I wouldn't have played Enrique just because Jason Kipnis was the play for me. I had him pretty much everywhere. And also Enrique bats eighth. If he was batting second, I would have been intrigued. But that was not for me. I'm just not playing Mike Trout. Mike Trout's got to show me something. Tonight we'll talk about it because Mike Trout is facing Randy Wolf. And if he doesn't do anything at Randy Wolf, maybe just put him on the DL or something. Like, if he goes over 4, just DL the guy immediately. Because that's Randy Wolf's not very good. Spoiler alert. And, yeah, I agree with Stevie as far as the rest of the analysis. No issues with Puig and Davis as well.
Yeah, so the one thing that I'll throw out here is I'd like to see a tournament stack be a little more – or a tournament lineup, rather, be a little more stack-oriented. You know, there's been a good amount of research done at this point that shows that if you're trying to win a tournament, your best bet is to either go full-on 4-player stacks – or go with a couple of mini stacks. So, you know, 2 3-player stacks, maybe a 4-player stack, and a 3-player stack. That's just the way daily fantasy baseball works. You have to kind of hit the lottery ticket a little bit to finish it first, second, third place where the money is significant. And so just looking at this lineup and thinking of a couple of ways that our guy here at the Leaf Node could have potentially done that. You know, first of all, Mike Trout, I think, could have been Andrew McCutchen very easily to go kind of paired up with Josh Harrison there.
Yeah.
And then maybe at that point also you can get Jung Ho Kang in there over Jimmy Rollins, you know, by moving down Albert Pujols. You don't necessarily need him. Maybe you go with somebody who was a little cheaper. I'm trying to think. Who was cheaper at first base tonight? I know there was a couple of guys.
I played Adrian Gonzalez and Smoke Monster.
Yeah, yeah. So there were a couple guys that were cheaper for a tournament. And also, you know, Rajah Davis, if you're going with the Dodgers sub-theme here, which, you know, Puig, Rollins, and Enrique Hernandez, why not Scott Van Slyke, who was the same price, who also masters lefties? Obviously, Rajah Davis, a great play in that matchup. But Scott Van Slyke kind of completes or puts the cherry on top, so to speak, to that little Dodger stack. Then all of a sudden, you've got 4 Dodgers and 2 Angels, and I just like the composition of that lineup a little bit better at that point, I think.
You're saying Scott Van Slyke is the Renee Zellweger of that lineup?
I don't know the reference, but I am very impressed that you were able to pull that one out because Renee Zellweger hasn't done anything since she was scribbling in Bridget Jones' Diary.
Well, she completes Tom Cruise, and you're saying Scott Van Slyke completes his lineup.
Okay, I see it. I see it now. I see it.
That's a kind of a reach again. I think I had Archer over Sale in tournament play tonight, so I think I would have taken the savings and played Archer and kind of used the money elsewhere.
Yeah.
Like we've said, Trout, I just don't know if I would have paid up for Trout tonight. The matchup, yeah, it was definitely a good matchup. If he's going to do something, it's going to be against Verlander, but not a great ballpark either.
I did my best to put Edwin in my lineups, Edwin Encarnacion, and I only can get him like one or two, but I love him tonight. He's got like, a 20-game hitting streak. He's pretty much banged out of dong like 4 of his last 7 games or so. Best first righties, Texas Stadium, everything lined up for him, and he happened to bang out a grand slam.
Yeah, and you want to talk about guys who, you know, kind of crush the idea that, you know, the game can be completely quantified by numbers. Edwin Encarnacion, one of the most notorious streak hitters in the game. You catch him when he's on a hot streak, and the guy just delivers time and time again.
That parrot of his has gone for a lot of rides of late.
It really has, and we're going to go on a ride as well, gentlemen, to the album of the day section of the podcast. I'm going to give my album of the day, but as is, well, new custom, I guess you would call it. It's new and customary. You two are going to give albums of the day as well. You know, Hoop, when he was doing the podcast here, he would always leave his album of the day, which was the radio. So I kind of let him off the hook with that. But I know you two at least listen to some music other than the radio. So I'm going to go with Kamasi Washington. The album is called The Epic. And a special shout out to RG Chat All-Star Yancey Eaton, who also happens to be very active on Twitter, very encouraging fella too, at least as far as I'm concerned. I can't speak for how he is around other hosts. But he recommended Kamasi Washington. He heard me, I think, talking about jazz one day and how I was I'm pretty much a fan of all music. And ever since he recommended it, I cannot stop listening. It is, I told Dean earlier that jazz really gets compared. Jazz and all the other, you know, types of music that really don't age, so to speak, they get compared to the entirety of the catalog over the course of, you know, the time that it's existed. So you're still comparing jazz albums that come out now to stuff that came out 40, 50, 60 years ago. So very rarely does a jazz album really come out and make huge waves. And I'm not a connoisseur by any means, but I do know that Kamasi Washington's album has made some rather large, has made some rather large waves in the jazz community. It's very good. You guys should check it out if you get a chance. Dean, you're up next. Tell us who you're recommending.
Well, it wasn't an album. It was a song by a band. It's a cover song. Hours. The name of the band, O-U-R-S, our lead singer, Jimmy Necco. That's G-N-E-C-C-O. One of the most amazing voices in all of music. He's just incredible. If you want one of their albums, check out Distorted Lullabies. If you want to go to a song in that album, check out Sometimes. But I was in a mood, like just kind of a dark mood before the pod for whatever reason. And I was listening to Jimmy Necco's cover of Roy Orbison's Crying. And it is amazing. Like, just ridiculous. The guy's voice... He has like a melodic scream that nobody else does, and you have to hear it. Ooh. I'll tweet it out later during the day actual daylight hours, maybe, if I remember. But you guys have to check it out. It's awesome.
You've rode a roller coaster before, right, Dean?
Sure.
Same feeling when you listen to him?
No.
You seem kind of Twitter-pated by his voice.
Oh, it's incredible. Have you heard it before?
Yeah, I listened to it. You sent me the link, so I'm asking. I'm asking as a friend, and that's all. Just, you know, that same, is it the roller coaster going down a hill feeling?
No, it's a different, like, the light's got to be out for the most part, generally speaking. I've seen him in concert, like,
glass
six
of wine,
or seven times.
Glass of wine, right?
No, I'm not that sophisticated. Don't wine
okay.
for me.
Okay, fair enough. Stevie, who do you got for us here tonight?
Oh, I've been listening to two albums all day today, and I'm going to go to the Chalk Play. Luke Bryant, Crash My Party. Everybody knew I talk country music. The other one, actually, I think maybe Gavey, maybe. Limp Bizkit, Chocolate Starfish.
Yes! Oh, my gosh! Are you kidding me? That was one of the best albums when I was in middle school. Which one was it?
All of them.
Roland, the Urban Assault Vehicle remix. Roland, yes. Listen, so there was the song Roland that made it on the radio and that was huge, but there is a lesser-known remix that has DMC featured on it. It's called Roland, the Urban Assault Vehicle remix. That is the actual name of the song. I have no clue why they chose to call it the Urban Assault Vehicle remix, but it is phenomenal. You got DMX just doing his DMX thing in the background, and it is amazing.
Yep, been listening to both of those albums today, so I figured... go Chalk with my album of the day, but I thought you'd like the second album I was listening to today.
Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water.
How many times does he say the F word?
Is it like 48, 49?
Yeah, that a boy. Look at that. Gavey on a roll today.
Stevie, I'm a music fan, all right? I like all music except country.
Yeah, well, it's just because you don't understand what good music is.
There was 35 million views for that Luke Bryan guy. I checked
that on YouTube. Country is big time, man. It's big.
I do live in Florida. You know, let's be chalk for a second.
No. Northern Florida, it's a distinct difference with Florida. The more north you go, the more southern it gets.
Stevie, is it 48 times that he says it exactly?
It is 48 times.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember that piece of trivia from when I... All right, man, I'm on a roll. I'm feeling good.
Are you rolling?
That's what I was hoping you would catch that, Dean. I was hoping you would catch that.
God. You guys might actually want to play Gaby's Picks today.
Yeah, there you go. For the first time ever, you may actually want to go all in, like I do.
To go against Dean, but that night that you were on Cespedes, we had a show together, and we both were on him, and I played him.
No, absolutely,
probably in 90% of my lineup.
I played him too, but Gaby said it's a lock and load play at 4K. And he was not a lock and load play.
It was a lock and load play.
Now let's just play results.
Did he hit a home run?
Let's just play results now.
I won the pot, didn't I?
Hold on. It was Jerome Williams.
It was home Jerome.
Yeah, come on.
It was 4K, though. He was 4K.
All right, we got to move forward. We We gotta talk about FanDuel.com for a second, our sponsor site, and just want to remind all of you about the Playboy College Football Championship that will be taking place this fall. College football, of course, one of the bigger growing daily fantasy sports out there. FanDuel supports it with their contest that they run. They've been one of the front runners in terms of offerings. And now they are once again leading the pack by making a live final at the Playboy Mansion. Stevie, you, of course, are known for your appearances at the Playboy Mansion, and not as a side fluffer or anything like that, actually as a participant in the live daily fantasy finals. So are you going to be going after this one?
Not a big college football person.
Okay.
I do enjoy the live finals that, you know, I've been at the Playboy Mansion, and the one that I was at for baseball for FanDuel was just so much better than the Star Street one. They did it much better. The party was just so much more fun.
Stevie, you know you're not supposed to speak ill of the dead, right?
Eh, well, that one site with green logos that used to be around, you know, we're playing FanDuel games on Star Street.
Yep.
Anyway, but yeah, a big fan of the Playboy Mansion. I'm not a big college football person, so I doubt I'll chase this. But if you are into college football, I'd highly recommend trying to qualify. It's an awesome event. And you're going to have a good time. FanDuel definitely knows how to do a live final.
College football starts 1 week from tonight. I know everybody's looking forward to it. I am as well. You guys are. FIU, the Golden Panthers, go into Orlando and take on my UCF Knights. The crowd's going to go crazy. Go Knights.
Have you had that? Like, did you work on that in front of the mirror?
You did.
He had to work on it. It was just so on cue. It was so non-organic.
That's off the dome, man.
Really? Hold on. Let's test Dean a little bit. Dean, what is the song that they play at the UCF Knights football games that gets the crowd going where the stadium rocks?
I'm insulted you'd even ask me that. It's Zombie Nation.
Okay. I'm just making sure, okay, buddy. Just making sure.
Come on. And everybody rattles their keys, too, during kickoffs. I know how it works. I went to the school. I went to the games.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. You know, UCF Arena's a 30-minute drive from me.
Oh, really? Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's not too far.
All right, yeah. Dean has forsaken his home territory. He no longer gets to lay claim to UCF or to the Miami Marlins. So,
I don't want to claim the Marlins.
Yes, you do.
All right, slate breakdown. Let's get into
it, gentlemen.
We got 11 games. We're going to partition this breakdown into two separate breakdowns. That way we can talk about the early games as a collective, and we can talk about the late games as a collective, and we can kind of examine the plays and the strategy in the scope of, you know, these 5 and 6 game slate limitations. So with that being said, we start off with the Los Angeles Dodgers at the Cincinnati Reds. And the first thing here that really surprises me, gentlemen, is the fact that we have a 7-run total at the Great American Small Park. Now, I know Zach Greinke is on the mound, so that's half the equation. But generally, you'll still see a slightly higher total at a ballpark like this when you have a guy like Anthony Descalfani on the other side and a team like the Dodgers who decimate right-handed pitching, and Descalfani having a lot of trouble getting left-handed batters out. Stevie, I'm going to start with you. Do you speculate that this game might be a bit higher scoring just by virtue of the Dodgers putting up some runs here?
Dodgers' offense has been a little cold, especially over the last, 30 days. So I can understand a 7.5. I think by game time at 12:35 Eastern that we'll see it at least at 8. I think the line will definitely move up. I think a lot of smart bets will be on the over in this game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Dodgers can definitely go left-handed heavy. Looking at, like, FanDuel, Adrian Gonzalez at 3,100, I think Dean would definitely agree that it's just super chalk for cash games.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, why is chalk like an insulting word?
I'm not insulting you.
I like the direct route to the most.
It's not chalk. It's not an insulting word. Why are you assuming that we are insulting
you? You said it in a condescending way. Chalk. Yeah. Who wants to do that? I want to take the scenic route.
All right, Dean. So Stevie's put in his 2 cents. You go ahead and toss yours in. Do you think this game should be a higher total than the 7 that it sits at now? And then go ahead and transition over to Zach Greinke. Is he just the de facto number one option in cash games and maybe even tournaments? I can't find another pitcher that I like on this slate, to be honest.
Have you heard of one Madison Bumgarner?
No, not a fan. The Cubs are just eviscerating opponents at the moment.
Oh, stop it. They strike out. Is that a word for strikeout or eviscerate? I'm not sure. Is that a synonym?
I see what you're doing there. It's not going to work. You're not going to goad me in. I'm not going to dignify these base arguments. But
Bumgarner is a better ballpark and a higher K upside. What do you want from him?
I don't know. I mean, when you put it like that, it's, you know, I get it. I'm just saying that the Cubs are on fire right now.
Well, Stevie, chime in here. What is he talking about? Greinke is the lock and load, 100%. He's putting all his chips on Greinke and ignoring Bumgarner.
All in on Zach Greinke ignoring Bumgarner.
That's probably not a good idea.
Shut up, Dean.
We'll get to Bumgarner here in a few minutes, but I think Greinke's in a good spot. I'm not a big fan of his price tag when you're looking at him compared to Bumgarner. I think you pay the extra $700 for Bumgarner, but we'll get into that here in a little bit.
And as far as the Dodgers, if you want a lock and load play, like a real lock and load play, you still plead 2.7K against Disco Stu, who struggles against the righties. Nice ballpark upgrade for Puig. Coming up the dong, he's actually stealing bases. His hamstring is feeling fine. You got to lock him in your cash games to show Puig and Adrian Gonzalez as well. That's where you're looking for your bats. All the Dodger lefties, pretty much.
I don't know if I agree with the Puig in cash games.
He's 2.7K.
Yeah, tell him, Stevie.
Look, he's 2.7K because he has like a 309 wOBA against righties this season. Descofini.
That's not true. What's his wOBA on the road versus lefties? Versus
righties? So now we're going on the road, so we're going to take a 225 at-bat sample size and kind of cut that in half. And yep. Oh, you're killing me, Dean. 225 at-bats against righties this season, 309 wOBA with a 22% strikeout rate. Not a cash play for me.
Find a better play at 2.7K, please.
I will. We'll get into that when we get going.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll get there. Easy.
I'm down, buddy.
Heal.
Good.
Heal.
I'm perfectly fine, but I just can't believe we're disagreeing. That was like, that. Talk about chalk. You guys didn't even say chalk there. That's the chalk.
All right. Los Angeles Angels at Detroit Tigers. If we want to talk about chalk, we've got a game here with a massive total. It is 9 runs, I believe, as of right now. The RD lineups page does not have the over-under listed here. 9-run total, and it looks like basically a pick-em between Matt Shoemaker and Randy Wolf. I think we've established he is a shoemaker, not a shoemaker. So sure. Confident in his ability to create life rather than destroy. But I think the chalk here is pretty much load up on bats on both sides of this game because Shoemaker was bad. You know, he was really bad, and we need to see something from him, especially going against this offense that's been really potent as of late, ever since they got Miguel Cabrera back. And then Randy Wolf, there's not much to be said other than this guy is just lucky to be pitching in the major leagues once again.
Yeah, the Tigers youth movement is on with Randy Wolf. They traded for Randy Wolf inexplicably. I don't know what they gave up.
Yeah.
But it was too much.
Listen, they just needed an innings eater right now for a lost season. It's understandable.
He'll eat 4 innings. How about that? They're delicious. by the way, I just want to retract something. I didn't realize. For some reason, I made Disco Stu a lefty in my head. I still like Puig. Righty on righty is not as appealing, but Puig at 2.7K.
Yeah, Disco Fina's got a very nice slider, by the way, Dean. Did you know that sliders are very good at getting same-handed batters out?
What is a slider you speak of?
Okay. Now we're going to play dumb, right? We're going to play that card. Okay. Stevie, how do you feel about the Detroit Tigers bats against Matt Shoemaker? Is this an area that we should be looking at on the early slate?
Yeah, I think JD Martinez is a guy at 3,700 that I would definitely lock into my cash games, Dean.
Lock and load.
Yeah, Matt Shoemaker is a guy that has the reverse splits, 353 wOBA against righties this season, high home run to fly ball ratio. And with a guy that has a 42% fly ball ratio, you definitely want to target some of these bats in tournaments. Miguel Cabrera, JD Martinez, two of the higher upside plays of the day. I know Miguel Cabrera at 5,400 is expensive, but he might be that pivot for tournaments where you're trying to get off of Adrian Gonzalez and you just pay up sometimes in tournaments to go contrarian.
I agree with you. And by the way, just on building the lineup here, Madison Bumgarner and JD Martinez, you put them those two guys in your cash games, you're now at less than 2.7K per player. Love Martinez, love Bumgarner. It's going to be really tough to fit both those guys in. I think you can make it happen. Just saying, it's kind of tricky.
Yeah, I think one thing to look at when the Angels lineup comes out, if they do this crazy experiment with Victorino batting leadoff again.
Oh, no.
He's 2,200 and Wolf is terrible. I think I'd take a shot at it. If it's going to mean that I'm going to be able to get guys like JD Martinez and Whit Bumgarner, I'll take a shot on that.
I get it. He's terrible, but he has a nice history against lefties. He will get the hook, though, because what's his name will come in and relieve him.
Against Murphy. Lefty, yeah.
Yeah, once a righty comes in, Victorino will probably come out. Not automatically, depending on the situation of the game, obviously. But there's a decent shot. He only gets like 3 ABs, and sure, I guess you can't get too picky. But Randy Wolf is terrible. You're right. You want to pick up Randy Wolf, and like we said, this should be a breakout night for Trout. you know, you don't. It's still a small sample. You get the ball hard four times and go for four, but he's in a good spot. Pujols as well. Crone has nice power versus lefties. If he draws a start, Randy Wolf's bad. There you go. Target Randy Wolf.
Yep. Is fading Trout a viable option here? Like, if you honestly believe he's injured and it just doesn't matter who he's facing right now, do you think it's fair to just put a complete fade out on Trout and try to use that to outsmart the field? Because Trout, for all intents and purposes, should probably be, unless he gets the day off, you know, night game than a day game, which is very likely, I think, if you're a guy who's maybe a little banged up. If he's in there, though, he's got to be, what, at least like 25% owned?
Yeah, probably. Again, the issue with this slate, if you look at the slate, it's five games, 10 pitchers, and there's really only like two appealing pitchers.
Yeah.
Baumgartner and Greinke, and of course you can get a little kooky in tournaments, but I don't really know how you roll out Trout in cash games just because it's price prohibitive.
Yeah, sure. I think he's an option in tournaments. Look at Trout's stats against lefties throughout his career. They're just fantastic. And you get a guy like Wolf, if Trout doesn't hit Wolf today, then we definitely have to think, you know, what is going on with Mike Trout?
Fair enough.
I was waiting. Usually Dean chimes in there. So.
Well, I mean, look, we already said small sample, like weird things could happen, and you can hit the ball hard three times and go for four. And, you know, that's just the way things go sometimes.
Yada, yada, yada. All right. Toronto Blue Jays at Texas Rangers. Marco Estrada taking on Yovani Gallardo. Estrada a -143 favorite in a game with a 9.5 run total. The Blue Jays are basically unfair right now with their lineup, especially when they choose to sit Chris Colabello, get much better at that point. And Yovani Gallardo is a pitch-to-contact guy. He's not striking anybody out. In fact, his strikeout rate has dipped for quite some time now, you know, ever since he got the sinker-heavy pitch-to-contact philosophy in Milwaukee. He hasn't really been the guy with the K upside that we were used to seeing in the past. So, my question to you here, Dean, I'm going to throw it to you first, is the Toronto Blue Jays, are they too expensive to even try to stack because of that very same problem you were just mentioning? Only two pitchers and both of them being very pricey.
I mean, you can. Obviously, you do it in tournaments. I'm trying to think who you trust.
Because I don't think you can really roll out any of these like big bats in cash games. They're just all too expensive right now.
Like, DiStefani is, I mean, I know we just trashed him, but he's not a terrible tournament guy when considering the alternatives. There's not a lot of other places to go.
Yeah, I'm not playing DiStefani against them.
Well, tell me where else we're going to go. That's my question.
You can go Ventura if you're going to go cheap.
Yeah, like I'd much rather go Ventura over DiStefani. That was the name that I was going to mention as well.
He's kind of expensive, though. I mean, when you're trying to stack Toronto, I'm saying if you're trying to stack Toronto, you need a really super cheap pitcher. And
that's fair.
It's not going to be Heron. It's not going to be Tillman. It's not going to be Wolf. I don't think it's going to be the Shoe. So by default, it's DiStefani.
And again, I think you're just making a case to not stack the Blue Jays today.
Yeah, that's kind of my issue here. I don't know that a Blue Jays stack is particularly profitable. I think you stack some of the other teams where you get some of the cheaper options, where there's only one or two guys that are priced up, as opposed to like realistically, I just don't think you're playing Josh Donaldson at noon tomorrow.
No, it's really difficult to make it happen. But then, yeah, of course, you make the old contrarian argument, he's less than 5% owned because of that. And you find a way to make it work.
But the problem, yeah. The problem is that like he's less than 5% owned, and the rest of your lineup is just complete dog shit as a result.
Yep.
Well, you get a cheap, you still Puig.
How much was Puig?
2.7K.
It's extra $100 for Mitch Moreland.
Stevie, let's talk about the Texas Rangers. Of course, much better when they're at home. They're a fringe top 10 offense versus right-handed pitching. And Marco Estrada, for all the buzz that was around him to start the year, he has a historical home run issue, and he has a dubiously low BABIP versus both sides of the plate, making him look far better than he has actually pitched this year. Do you think maybe some people are going to look at Estrada and say, he's a favorite, he's pitched kind of well this year, I'm going to look away, I'm not going to take any Texas Rangers, and do you think there's an opportunity to load up on Rangers bats here in tournaments?
Yeah, do yourself a favor, do not take pitchers at Texas in the summertime. It's way too humid. The ballpark makes the ball fly, get a lot of power to right center in the summertime. Really, honestly, if you dig into the numbers on Estrada, like you mentioned, look at his xFIP. It's extremely high. It's 4.77. Yeah. It's way too high. It just everything screams regression. Everything screams that he's pitching way above his head.
That was me. That was me pretending to be his peripherals. By the way,
okay, scared me there for a second. But
just trying to wake you up, big dog. Just trying to wake you up.
No, I'm good, man. I'm good. You know, looking at the Texas lineup, you know, Prince Fielder is really cheap at 3,200. Mitch Moreland is now outfield eligible, so I would rather have him over Puig in a righty-lefty matchup in an equal ballpark, probably.
Yeah.
I think Cincinnati's a little bit better ballpark. And then one guy that you guys didn't mention on the Toronto side is Russell Martin. If he's in the lineup, he's only 2,500, and I think he's an excellent cast team play.
Now, he's coming off the injury, and he caught last night, so I believe there's probably a 0% chance he plays early.
Navarro.
Yeah.
Gave you with all definitive zero. Like, well, there's not an 8% chance he catches?
No.
No, he's probably right.
Nobody tunes in for lukewarm touting, all right? It's like in scripture, the Church of Laodicea. I will chew you up and I will spit you out. What'd you say?
They tune in for Luke Bryan takes.
That's right. They know good music. Saying,
there's no such thing as lukewarm touting. Lukewarm touts can exit stage right. There's no
8% is not lukewarm. That's realistic. There's an 8% chance he catches. That's all.
I'm just saying. Speak in definitives or don't speak at all.
Right, no, okay, man. So Navarro, he's 2,300. The RBI potential is definitely there for the Blue Jays.
He is notably worse against righties than lefties,
much
though.
Worse against righties.
By the way, skip Victor Martinez in Detroit. He's super cheap. Are we intrigued at all?
No, because something's wrong with Victor Martinez. Something is wrong with one of the best hitters in the game over the past 10 years because his batting average is, I think, below 250 at this point. He's hitting for no power at all. I know he had that small surge when he came back off the disabled list, and now he's back to being terrible. Something is wrong with the 30-plus-year-old Victor Martinez, and I don't want any part of it right now.
So I think he needs to continue to hit from the right side. Like, his numbers against lefties this season are fantastic. When he's on the right side, he's hitting the ball very well. I think it's time for him to stop switch hitting and just hit from the right side.
Could be.
No power, though. No power against lefties.
No power against righties. He has a 129 ISO against righties this season.
What is it against lefties?
And that means I have to pull it up and look.
By the way, I forgot to mention. I talked about BVP before we started the slate breakdown. Joey Votto against Zach Greinke, 12 for 27 with 3 home runs and 4 doubles.
All the Votto.
And all in on Votto. Is that what I heard you say?
100%, 92%.
And Troy Tulowitzki, 11 for 24 with 1 home run and 4 doubles against Giovanni Gallardo career. So.
All right, so you're right, Dean. His ISO right around the same against lefties this season, but his WOBA is 120 points higher against lefties this season.
Yeah, he's getting all the singles.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. You give me a guy that has a 143 WRC plus, and I'll play him every day.
All right.
What do you think the WRC plus of each of us individually on this podcast is compared to like an average podcaster?
Mine's at least 250.
Wow, 250. We're talking like Nelson Cruz versus lefties this season.
Oh, well, we need to make it like 300 then.
Oh, my. Oh, wow. No, okay. Bow to the master. Okay. Listen, confidence is like 95% of the equation. So you have adorned yourself with the biggest crown for sure.
Yes.
Dean, what would you put yourself at?
At least double digits.
What's your podcasting war?
8%?
How about it would be it would be your par. Your podcasting it would be your par. Your podcasts above replacement.
2.3. That seems reasonable.
Over the course of a year, a full calendar year, how many more podcasts of the same brand does a person listen to when it's you podcasting specifically versus any other random replacement level podcaster?
See, I said 2.3. I don't know if that sounds modest or like I'm like being ambitious.
I think that's
ambitious.
A little too low. I think maybe like, you know, a really solid podcaster probably has to have at least a 10 par.
Okay.
So I think you're at least at a 10. I'll give you at least 10 there.
I'll give him a little bit above average.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
A little bit above average. Okay.
You do your thing, Dean.
We'll call him Jason Hayward.
You be you.
Lots of potential. He was supposed to be the next big thing, but really just a little above average.
He was so good out of the gate, too. His first ever at bat against Carlos Zambrano, home run.
Yeah, listen, he was the Jeff Francoeur of his time.
I watched him hit a home run in spring training the year that he was a rookie. In Kissimmee, Florida, at Houston. I love that place.
All right, Gaby, what's your Jason Hayward story?
All right, my Jason Hayward story is we have to get back. We have wildly diverted from the task at hand.
We're okay.
Texas Rangers bats against Marco Estrada. Go all in on them. Mitch Moreland. I'm sorry, don't go all in. Go moderately in on Mitch Moreland and Prince Fielder. I don't mind Shin Soo Chu either.
Just the tip of Texas.
Oh my gosh. Dean.
The
FCC is on line one. Baltimore Orioles at Kansas City Royals. Chris Tillman, Yordano Ventura, -135 for Yordano Ventura. Chris Tillman got himself a little bit of a reverse split. You got guys like Alcides Escobar, Lorenzo Cain, Dean's favorite player in all of Major League Baseball, Salvador Perez. Any of these guys in play for you, or?
I mean, Salvador Perez has homer potential. He's cheap. What do you want? It's a five-game slate. Where are you going
to
go?
I just want you to own it. That's all.
I'm owning it. I mean,
okay,
I don't
thank you. That's all I wanted.
Yeah. Well, what do you want for the guy from Salvador Perez? What is he? How cheap is he today? I'm looking for his price. I keep scrolling.
He's 2,300. He's caught 3 days in a row, and they played a night game last night.
He clutches so many games, though. That they like
I'm just saying.
There's at least an 8% chance he plays.
I actually have to agree with Dean, though. If he's in the lineup, I think he's an excellent option for cash games.
Yeah, well, I'm going with go with Buster Posey.
Yeah, but you can't get Posey.
How do you afford this guy? What kind of salary code do you have?
I mean, Buster, what do you mean, how do I afford him? Buster Posey is cheap.
Okay.
Buster Posey's 3K, and he's supposed to play third base tomorrow, I think.
What? Third?
That's
3K.
I heard something about him shagging ground balls out of third base because Matt Duffy went down and they need him on the field.
I heard 3K, and I'm intrigued.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm pretty sure whether it's at first base or third base, he probably won't be catching again, but I'm pretty sure he'll be in the lineup, and Andrew Susak will probably be starting a catcher.
All right.
Are you on board with that now?
I'm intrigued at 3K, sure. The third base thing kind of throws me off. I was not aware of that. We don't care what he does in the field.
It's entirely possible that I completely imagine that entire story. I'm not going to – you want to talk percentages? There's probably like a 15% chance that I heard something else accidentally. You know, the neurons in my brain fired and connected two completely separate things.
That was probably your Jason Hayward story. He's playing third base.
Jason Hayward at third base. That would be nice. That would be – All right, let's venture further into this Baltimore-Kansas City game. We do have Yordano Ventura. Stevie, why don't you make the case for why Ventura greater than Desclafani if you're looking for a tournament option outside of the two chalk plays at pitcher?
Yeah, you get a huge ballpark bump here for the pitchers. Kansas City is one of the best places to pitch in baseball as far as pitching goes, and then he has one of the best bullpens in baseball as well. So if he can do opposite of what Cueto did tonight – I think that Ventura is an interesting option for a guy that should pick up a win if you want to try to fit in some of these top bats. Looking at the lineup, it's pretty right-handed heavy outside of Chris Davis and Parra. So Ventura is a guy that much better against righties than he is against lefties. So I think he's in a good spot to pick up a win. I'm definitely not going all in on him, and I will be targeting Chris Davis and some of these bats against him.
What say you, Diener?
Pretty much the same deal, yeah. I mean, obviously, Ventura is a better tournament play than Disco's too. I was just trying to think how to get those four Toronto guys in. It's very, very difficult, so you have to get somebody really cheap. I don't like Disco's too. I want to make that clear. He's not my guy. I think that Ventura is an excellent tournament pivot. And, yeah, if you're going to play somebody on Baltimore, it's going to be a lefty. It's probably Davis. And Herrera Parra, I don't mind, although it's kind of weird to pay 3.5 for him.
Why don't we just call him Herrera at this point?
Let's do it.
All right, Herrera. Definitely you know in play.
You know what his nickname is?
I have no idea.
Rico Suave.
Ooh, is he a good-looking gentleman?
He's rich and smooth.
You know, one option that definitely stands out to me is Weeders. I don't think he'll be catching, but he could definitely DH because Clevinger went on the fraternity list, so he's out for at least one more day.
Okay.
So Weeders is only 2,300, and like we were just mentioning, Ventura is much better against righties than lefties. So interesting play for 2,300 if you want a punt catcher like I always do.
Yeah, Ventura definitely been struggling against left-handed batters this season. That's his one real weakness so far. Chicago Cubs at San Francisco Giants. Last game here of the early-only slate. Dan Heron taking on Madison Bumgarner. Bumgarner at home, a -181 favorite in the game with a 7-run total. Stevie, you sounded very convinced earlier, so I'm going to let you take the lead here. Why is Madison Bumgarner your starting pitcher of choice in cash games over Zach Greinke?
I think it's pretty simple. Look at the ballpark.
Oh, wow. Like, that's... okay. Well, listen, I'm a big fan of putting me in my place, and I am in the corner, right? You just tell me when I'm done with timeout. I'll take my nose out of the corner, and we'll continue talking.
Yeah, Bumgarner has two games in his last three with complete game shutouts and double-digit strikeouts in both of those games. He's won, what, seven in his last eight starts, I think?
Yeah.
Definitely in line for a win here in this matchup. Dan Heron's a guy that the Giants' bats can get to. One of the best offenses in baseball this season. Not particularly a fan of the Giants at home, but as you mentioned on the show yesterday, their WRC Plus is definitely legit at home. So kind of throw out the team Wobo a little bit and definitely expect them to get Bumgarner some run support.
Sure.
And then if you're looking at price difference, it's $700 to get a guy in a great pitching ballpark or a guy that is in a really small ballpark in the heat of the day. It's just I'm not a big fan of taking pitchers at Cincinnati, especially in this time of the year.
Also, what about you?
The Cubs are a little bit dinged. Jorge Soler, he has an oblique. He's in the DL. Dexter Fowler, he's got a hand and a shin, and he's day-to-day because of that. Mm. So their outfield's pretty thin. Like DeNorfia is a lefty. You know, historically, he's done pretty well against lefties, so I imagine he'll draw the start anyway. Schwarber is an amazing hitter, but he's somewhat nullified versus the lefty to some degree. Rizzo can hit lefties, yeah, of course. But again, this is no ordinary lefty. This is Madison Bumgarner, top two, top three best pitchers in baseball. And
no,
the Cubs.
What? Not top two, top three?
Chris Sale, Clayton Kershaw, Madison Bumgarner.
Lefties, Dean. Lefties.
Who am I missing?
There's a bunch of guys you're missing.
Give me the fourth guy. Tell me who's better.
David Price. Chris Archer's having a Cy Young season.
Max Scherzer.
Yeah, no. Scherzer. Kluber.
Yeah, maybe.
Carlos Martinez.
Family Feud board. He's on the board.
Carlos Carrasco.
No,
Carlos Martinez. Come on, Carlos Martinez. Gabe, stop it.
Bumgarner is definitely a top five pitcher.
He's top 10 for sure. He's debatable top five.
You don't want to take left-handed hitters against Bumgarner. Yeah, Rizzo's good against lefties, but let's be honest, it's Bumgarner and it's not Flonde or somebody along those lines.
Flonde,
Flonde's underrated.
Yeah, I've officially typed in Madison Bumgarner's name. I'm going to throw him in a couple of my tournament lineups. Thank you for saving the day, and I'm going to go all RG Twitter timeline on you if it doesn't work out and say, I knew I shouldn't have played Madison Bumgarner. Why do you guys always give us terrible picks?
Those are my favorite.
From what I'm hearing is that you're only listening to Stevie, and like I said Bumgarner first, for the record.
Okay.
And you completely ignored me. Hold on.
I'm sorry. You said Bumgarner first. It was a great idea, and I apologize, Dean. I validate your feelings about Madison Bumgarner.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Now we can move on.
All right. I just want to make sure.
Oh, we should mention, we can't completely ignore San Francisco. Danny Heron. The chicks love Danny Heron. He gives it the long ball. 28 home runs this year, 18 to lefties, 10 to righties. Lefties absolutely crush it. And the problem here is that what lefties are we going to throw at him? I guess it's –
Well, Dean, his BABIP versus right-handed batters shows that he should be bad against them as well. And in the past, Dan Heron has exhibited a reverse split, so this isn't a new thing for him. I think you can throw his wOBA versus righties out the window and just assume he is just as bad against right-handed batters as he is against lefties.
And I don't want to steal Stevie's thunder, but Stevie, Marlon Byrd, are you intrigued?
Marlon Byrd's in a good spot. I think he has some really good numbers. I think it's 14 for 35 with three home runs and four or five more extra base hits, I think.
Yep. The bird is the word if you are looking for the BVP special on the early slate, because unlike Joey Votto, you can actually get him a very reasonable price tag.
Bird over Puig. I'll take that, too.
Bird over Puig.
Dean,
willing to throw some doubloons down on Puig over Bird?
Yeah, if I lose, you pay him off because you owe me a pile.
It really did. I remember back when we were doing NBA shows together 2 years ago. I think I lost you like 19 shows in a row or something like that. It was pretty ridiculous.
It was unprecedented.
Granted, since I knew we were betting imaginary money that it was all a fugazi, I really didn't care about the bets I was making. I'm just gonna throw that out there. That's all.
Yeah, but that now you're devaluing all my victories.
Well, I mean, if that's the collateral damage, then that's the collateral damage. I can't be held responsible for that.
So, one other thing about Heron, and you mentioned his reverse splits this season. He has an extremely low strikeout rate throughout his career against righties. So, like you mentioned, Posey's a play. Bird's a play. And if Aoki's batting leadoff, I actually don't mind him for $2,500 on FanDuel.
Pesky Aoki.
There you go. All right, now we're going to head into the late-only slate. That wraps up the early slate. We got six more games to talk about here.
Oh, man.
New York Mets at Philadelphia Phillies. 8.5 run total, minus 160 for Jonathan Nease as he takes on the Harangatang, Aaron Harang. Philadelphia, been very pesky on offense since the All-Star break, a lot better than you, me, and everyone else thinks they are. And the New York Mets are just smashing the cover off the ball right now. This is among the hottest hot streaks I think I've ever seen.
Are you going to say that Yoenis Cespedes is a must play?
I'm not going to say Yoenis Cespedes is a must play, but I will say this. If your lineup doesn't have Yoenis Cespedes in it, you are just going to lose.
Oh, stop it. Why do you stoop to that level?
Listen, I had to go back to the start as a cold play once recommended. Take it all back to the start. Dan Bach, you're just going to lose. That's what I'm going to say with Yoenis Cespedes here. He is the big ticket item over all else that you want to get in your lineup.
No, McCutcheon's a better item than him. I'm sorry. I know he's more expensive, but if you're going to pay up for McCutcheon.
Stevie, set him straight, please.
Nelson Cruz.
No, that's not what you were supposed to do.
You went off the board.
Hey, you asked me to set him straight, and I'm setting the whole straight. Nelson Cruz against the lefty.
Well, listen, there are plenty of cheap pitchers that I love on this slate, so I can see an outfield reasonably with all three of those guys in it.
That would be a pretty solid outfield.
McCutcheon versus Cruz. I like McCutcheon a lot more than Cruz.
Cruz is hot. When he starts hitting him, he hits him in bunches. Back-to-back games with home runs, and he gets a lefty tonight.
Rendon is money.
Rendon can't find the strike zone.
On occasion.
On occasion. Yeah, every start he's had.
So listen, we're at New York Mets and Philadelphia Phillies right now. That's fine. This podcast is all about divergence. In fact, we were mistaken for that shitty movie that tried to be the Hunger Games on a couple of occasions. But Jonathan Nease allowing around one home run per nine innings, bad versus both sides of the plate this year. He's historically been bad against righties. He's actually been very bad against lefties this year. It's all falling apart. Aaron Harang, pretty much the same thing as well. Loves giving up home runs, getting torched by lefties. I think bats in both sides of this game are in play, to be completely honest. An emphasis on the Mets bats, particularly David Wright and Yoenis Cespedes. Wright, actually, 13 for 30 against the Harangatang with four doubles and a home run, if we're going to go BVP special once again. But I love all the Mets, and I don't mind taking a Philly here or there, like a Darren Ruff or a Jeff Francoeur, Andres Blanco, who happens to find themselves in a good spot.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of picking on Nease tonight. He has an extremely high hard contact rate, so...
Yeah.
You know, Rupp, I think, is a really excellent tournament option. He's hitting the ball very well right now. The Phillies' offense in general right now is just rolling, so it's really tough
keep
to target.
Rolling, what?
And the thing that's shocking about him, like, the Phillies' offense has been good against left-handed pitching all season, so it's not just something that's come along here over the last 30 days like their offense has. So they've been good against lefties all season. Blanco's an interesting option at third base. I'm not a big fan because we'll talk about who I like at third base when we get into another game. But, yeah, I think you can target both guys, and I think Cespedes is a great play.
Don't quote me on this, but I'm fairly certain this Aaron Althea character had really good numbers against lefties in the minors. Double-check that. We're in front of laptops right now. I don't know why I'm not doing it. I'm just buying time for somebody else to do it.
Well, hold on. What's his name?
Aaron Althea. A-A-R-O-N-A-L-T-H-E-R-R.
A-L-T-H-E-R-R. Okay, hold on. Let me put up here. Damn it, I spelled the name wrong. Give it to me again.
Oh, seriously? A-A-R-O-N. This is the worst podcast
just
ever.
Just the last name. I don't need a first name.
A-L-T-H-E-R-R.
Okay, I was going to say, what about like the name Aaron would make a last name that's crazy more specific? Do you think there's anybody else that has a last name of Althea?
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't want to just say Althea. You're going to like, what is this, like the share of baseball?
So, versus lefties as a righty, we got a 150 ISO and a 260 batting average to go along with a 316 babeep in 664 plate appearances in the minors. I'm going to go ahead and say that, unless these numbers translate perfectly across the board, it would just give him enough upside for me to really, like, actually care. I'm going to assume he's going to be worse than these numbers indicate against a lefty, so I'm no-go on this.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to double-check when we get off the pod.
I'm using minorleaguecentral.com. It is literally the premier site. It's called Minor League Central. Anywhere else that you would go would be like Minor League to the right. Or like, you know.
I think it's like M-I-I-L-B or something like that. That's where I go. I don't know. It's in my favorites.
Okay. All right. Whatever.
I'd rather pay like the extra $100 and take Corfanto.
Oh, I love these name butchers here.
Hey, to my credit, it's
Michael
like 4:30
Confectioner
in the morning.
Sugar?
It is like 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right, we've been set enough by this game. People get it. Bats are good in this game. Don't take the pitchers. San Diego Padres, Washington Nationals, 7.5 run total. Joseph Ross, minus 164 in this one against the Padres. So I'm going to go right out and say it. Joseph Ross has looked like a freaking bomb. I mean, he's just a boss. This guy is amazing. His control is insane for a young guy. His swinging strike percentage is ridiculous, 12.8%. It means there's a lot of room for strikeout upside, in my opinion. The only thing he needs to figure out is how to retire left-handed batters with consistency. I mean, this guy looks elite. I have no problem paying 8.1K for Joe Ross against the Padres tonight.
One hiccup with Ross. I agree with you. He's really good against righties, obviously really bad against lefties. First of all, I'm bummed that he's not playing against his brother. Why they would not match up Tyson versus Joe, that would have been awesome.
And then they got to flex that. They got to set it up so they can flex that game to Sunday Night Baseball, too.
Yeah, without question, of course. You know, it's the Nats and the Padres.
Yeah.
That's the worst Sunday Night Baseball game of all time.
Yeah.
But the one hiccup here is that
it would save us from the 20th viewing of the Yankees versus the Red Sox, but that I digress.
Those games are epic, though, when they get like to the fifth hour, it's where it really gets exciting.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a high pitch count. They don't let him go very deep. 82, 70, 89, 89, 90, 78, 88. Like, he doesn't, for the most part, they kind of are waiting. I don't know. They're just, it's like he loses an inning.
Yeah, they cut. I think that's a great way to put it. They cut him off an inning short, for sure.
So that's the one thing I don't like. But who are the lefties in the Padres that scare us? We always ask this question.
Yonder Alonso, Corey Spangenberg, Solarte. Yeah. We call
those
him Solarte.
Lefties.
Yeah, but they're not lefties that scare us, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What about you? You a big fan of Ross, Stevie?
I think you pair Joseph Ross with Bryce Harper tonight.
Ooh, yeah.
Andrew Kashner has just been awful. Absolutely awful against lefties this season, allowing a way above average hard contact rate to lefties.
By the way, did you guys hear that's the organizational philosophy of the San Diego Padres?
I heard somebody making that up at one point.
That's interesting.
It's not interesting. It's true. It's not interesting.
Give up home runs to lefties. Good strategy.
It's been confirmed by someone much greater than I, Eno Saris.
Okay. Did you know Denard Span is back too, batting leadoff 3,100?
I get it. I like Denard Span a lot tonight. I think he's a fine cash game play. In tournaments, I really like Andrew Kashner, though. He's getting crushed by lefties. So yeah, he's going to have a hard go of it against Span and Harper. But outside of that, he's been very strong against righties. And the Nationals can't get their shit together, even with everyone back from injuries. They're striking out a lot right now, too. I actually think Kashner is a very sneaky tournament option.
Rodon versus Kashner. I'll take Rodon all day.
You're going to take six walks by the fourth inning, getting pulled.
Kashner or Rodon or both?
I would actually take Kashner. I'm actually going to side with Gabe. They've been striking at an alarming high rate. Come on,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, Jason Worth is basically a walking strikeout at this point.
He's got a beard, too.
Still a walking strikeout. It's like Gaby hitting off me. He'd be a walking
Stop. I would take you yard. I'd spin your head around, sir.
I'm not even going to comment on that.
We'll have to set that up someday.
Next game.
Pittsburgh at Miami Marlins. Garrett Cole taking on Justin Nicolino. Dean's own Justin Nicolino. Big fan of him. Miami Marlins fan. 7-run total. Garrett Cole a minus 177 favorite in this game. And due to the deceptively low total and the fact that there are a bunch of individual lefty mashers on this team, I think the Pittsburgh Pirates are my favorite stack on the late-only slate. Stevie, how do you feel about that?
I like it a lot. I think Garrett Cole is your cash game option tonight. He's only 10,000 on FanDuel. Yeah. Has a great matchup against Miami, and I definitely agree with you, McCutchen, Marte. Josh Harrison's back at the top of that order against lefties. Saravelli, you can just keep going down the list here with the Pittsburgh bats. I think they're in a really good spot. I'm really going to take away the ballpark in this matchup, and I really do like these Pirates bats tonight.
yeah, 1 through 6, basically. I mean, except for Polanco, if he leads off, I'm not a big fan. But actually, Polanco probably won't lead off. Harrison probably will. And then Marte, McCutcheon, Aramis Ramirez, Young Ho Gong. Of course, he's interesting as well. Cervelli, and that's where I stop. No Mike Morse, if he plays. I can't do it. I don't
Jordy
care.
Jordy Mercer.
Yeah, as I was going to say, that's where I stop. Jordy Mercer would be batting 8th, and Dina have him in some tournament lineups.
I hate the 8-hole, though. That just drives me nuts. Bat him 7th, and I'm intrigued. 8th? Not so much.
Okay, so the thing I really like about the Pittsburgh Pirates is the fact that you can stack them so many different ways because they have so many great options against lefties. Like, you could legitimately like 10 standalone lineups of Pittsburgh Pirates stacks, and it would take you like 5 minutes because you're just like, okay, let's match all my favorite plays up with 1 through 4. Then we'll match all my favorite plays up with 2 through 5. You know, and so on, 3 through 6.
It is, put a ball with Justin Verlander.
Yeah, boom, there you go. That's how my night was. Hashtag humble brag.
I think my biggest issue with this late slate is there is so many third basemen that I like tonight.
Okay.
So Harrison's like, what, 2,400 on FanDuel?
Yeah.
You like Casey McGee.
And Evan Longoria is like 2,500 against a lefty. So it's really tough. Third base is definitely going to be the place that you're going to have to nail it tonight.
Yeah, Evan Longoria, he's been – I flirted with him on the shit list before. Let's just say that.
No, and that's fair. Just only play him at home.
We should mention Nicolino doesn't strike anybody out also. That's another issue. So a lot of bats are going to be putting on the – hitting the ball, and the ball's being played, and the Marlins stink. So go Pirates.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Nope, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. All right, let's move on to the next contest. Minnesota Twins, Tampa Bay Rays, Tommy Malone, Drew Smyly. -155 for Drew Smyly, 7.5 run total in this game. Tommy Malone, historical home run issues, really giving it up to right-handed batters. The Tampa Bay Rays, top 10 overall offense the last 45 days, and a top 3 offense versus left-handed pitching so far this year. Another team that I absolutely love to stack tonight.
Who are you stacking? Besides, like, I can't do it. Give me 4 guys you feel good about in the Rays.
Logan Forsythe, Evan Longoria, Desmond Jennings.
Yeah. Brandon Jennings Guy. Is hurt.
I thought he was back in.
He hurt his knee.
Did he?
Yeah.
We're still at 2. I heard. I'll give you Longoria and I'll give you Forsythe. Go ahead.
Drubal Cabrera.
Ugh.
Yeah. Cabrera much better from the left side.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. See, Stevie's on my side here.
That's only 3.
Stevie, much better from the Gabe side.
Hey, Gabby, he's facing a lefty, so he's going to be on the right side tonight. I'm saying Cabrera's not a good player. Sorry, buddy.
I retract my previous arrogance.
We're still at 2.
Brandon Guyer, I can help you. Tim Beckham, if he's in the lineup. There's a bunch of lefty matches.
Kurt Casale.
Those are not masters.
Casale's on the DL, Gabby.
Is Casale? I'm really sorry to everyone who's listening, but I just don't follow the Rays at all. They're so damn uninteresting. I have no idea, to be completely honest, if they're on the DL or not. Because I don't know. Is Souza playing now or
no?
Is Joey Butler and has he been designated for assignment or what?
No, he's in AAA.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he's okay. Yeah. All right.
Who's your tenth base stack again?
Forsythe and Longoria. Shut the hell up. All right.
Stack him up.
Give me your thoughts on Drew Smyly versus the Minnesota Twins.
Well, you got distinct splits there, obviously. He's much better versus lefties than he's versus righties.
Yep.
Dozier's kind of like an even split guy now. He's been great versus righties and lefties this year. So, I know people say, oh, he's killing righties, not killing lefties as much. Look at his minor league numbers. He absolutely smashed lefties as well. I like him. And we always bring this up. Sano and Plouffe, a very similar talent level, at least skill level, potential as far as donging. Well, maybe Sano has more power, but the idea here is that a lot of people want to know. People kind of ignore Plouffe, which makes Plouffe a great tournament play.
Stevie?
I kind of agree with him. The one thing that does stand out to me, Sano strikes out at an alarmingly high rate against lefties.
And I think that has to do with the swings that he takes, by the way. You ever watch him swing? He's swinging for the fences every time, and he misses a lot.
Yeah, he swings hard. So definitely take away. I don't think I'm going to target either one of these pitchers tonight. Drew Smyly is a guy that I like, but I don't take lefties against Minnesota. They have just been a team that has hit lefties very well, and the same goes for the Rays. They've hit lefties very well as well. Evan Longoria at 2,500 at home. Looking at his stats this season, he's batting 300 at home and like 240 on the road, so Longoria at home at 2,500 against a lefty. Just auto play for me in cash games tonight.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I don't know what the other options are just yet. I've looked them all over, like as a group. But I love that price. I love the matchup.
That is the one. That is the 60-minute warning. We are officially at 63 minutes. It is time to corral our banter and focus, hone in on these last two games. Seattle Mariners at Chicago White Sox. Roenis Elias taking on Carlos Rodon's base on ball rate. And, Dean, I detected a little bit of derision from you there.
Well, what about his K rate? Take that on, too.
Okay, I mean, it's a decent K rate. It's not
9.6.9, that's pretty solid. That's not bad.
All right, okay, hey, settle down.
Justin Verlander.
It's an 8.5 run total. Rodon a -140 favorite here against Elias. The first thing that sticks out to me is the Mariners getting a significant ballpark boost being at U.S. Cellular, and the fact that Rodon has been struggling against righties this year. Now, a lot of it seems BABIP-induced, but I'm kind of with Stevie. I'm worried that this guy's coming out of the game early because he can't find the plate. His base on ball rate is 12.6%.
Stop it. Really? It could happen, but he's an excellent tournament player. There's great ceiling there. And the thing I like about Rodon, he's a young pitcher, but they push him. They let him go. Last three games, they have nothing
push
to play
him to the limit.
107. You said no nonsense, and then you're throwing out all the nonsense right now. You're derailing.
Who was that? No nonsense for the rest of the podcast. If you can name that artist,
that was Loverboy.
No, that was Rick Ross. But please continue.
I'm watching it. What?
Stevie, you know what song I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, Rick Ross. Push it to the limit. All right. Anyways, Dean, please continue.
His last three games, he's a rookie. The White Sox are going nowhere, but they're still pushing him for whatever reason. 107, 104, and a whopping 116 pitches his last outing.
And, a whopping.
Yeah, that is a whopping. I'm sorry. By today's standards, by 2015, you're like, this guy's still in the game at 116?
Yeah,
that is whopping.
Listen, I think I heard Stevie say something about Nelson Cruz earlier. You've made the case for Carlos Rodon. I don't mind him for tournaments. He's on my list of tournament plays. Stevie, now I want you to make the case for some of these Seattle Mariners bats, namely Nelson Cruz, who you actually chose over Andrew McCutchen and Yonas Cespedes earlier in the podcast.
Yeah, Rendon is a guy that he's allowed at least three walks in seven of his last 10 starts. He continues to struggle with control issues. He pitched pretty well against Seattle his last start, but much different ballpark here. Nelson Cruz. Let's just talk about this for a second. 474 WOBA, 1.141 OPS, and a 336 ISO against left-handed pitching this season. If you look at his stats from last season as well, they're just going to be the same. The guy just absolutely mashes lefties. Gutierrez is another guy that matches lefties. Trumbo. You know, Trumbo's not having he's not having a good season.
Trumbo doesn't match anybody.
Operation Trumbo drop.
Trumbo still has a 231 ISO against lefties this season. So, honestly, I'm not a big fan of Rendon tonight. His control issues and the Mariners have been good.
Yeah, they're top 10 over the last 45 days. And, Dean, I think at least you will agree to this, that young guys with control issues are definitely prone to breakdowns here and there. He's not going to be without hiccups, which at the very least means the blazing hot Seattle Mariners bats should be on your tournament radar.
When you say young guys with control issues, are you talking about Carlos Martinez?
Oh, I was actually talking about the mini youth in America on prom night. But
well, that doesn't seem like it fits with the rest of the podcast theme.
I did anything to not trash on my guy Carlos Martinez. Look, it's the next game up. I have a very level-headed set of notes written about him. You both have my notes. You realize that I'm very realistic about his limitations and his upside. So come on, Dean, give me a little bit of credit here.
I'm pulling your notes up for the first time. Let's see what you say.
Oh my God. I worked so hard. I have blood, sweat, and tears.
I have my own personal notes.
You ask me though. You go out of your way to ask me specifically so that I would send you my notes and then you're telling me the first
checks and balances.
All right. We're ahead of this last matchup, St. Louis Cardinals, Arizona Diamondbacks. Carlos Martinez taking on Ruby De La Rosa. I know it's Ruby. I call him Ruby. 8-run total, -130 for Carmart in the desert. El Gallo, La Rusta. Listen, I kind of have to go with him at this point. I've kind of planted my flag here. I don't really have a choice. But I'm going to pass off the net. I'm going to say what needs to be said here real quick about him. Listen, he struggles with left-handed batters still. The wOBA is right on – it's teetering on the edge of being a guy you would actually want to target with left-handed batters, but it's just low enough that it's not quite there yet when you combine it with the strikeout rate he has against lefties. But he does have control issues. Now, his control issues are nowhere near Carlos Rodon, so let's not get that twisted, Mr. B, 78904.
First of all, two different salaries, and here – let me just explain something to you. You said you kind of had to go with it because you're like pot committed to Carlos Martinez.
Yeah.
By the very definition of daily fantasy baseball, the whole idea is of DFS is you're not married to anybody. You can date somebody one night, you can dump them the next night, date somebody else. You don't have to even draft cheat. The draft cheater, his boy, Slippin' Jimmy Nelson's like, you know what, Slippin' Jimmy? It's been real. I'm stacking against you tonight because you're not in a good spot. You can do it. You don't have to play the same guys all the time.
Okay. You said your piece. Now, Stevie, say yours. What do you think about Carlos Martinez?
I cannot pay 10-2 for Carlos Martinez with Gerrit Cole, $200 less.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I honestly think that that's fair. And I mean that. Listen, we all know that at heart I'm just a little bitch, and probably last 30 minutes before lineup stock, I'm going to switch out all my Carlos Martinez shares for Gerrit Cole. Just being honest with the listeners, authenticity is what people crave these days.
100% shares for 100% shares.
All in on the idea of swapping Carlos Martinez out at 6:30 Eastern for Gerrit Cole.
The one thing I do think Carlos Martinez has going for him, definitely not the ballpark, definitely not the matchup, but Ruby De La Rosa is really awful against lefties, and yeah. Hayward, Carpenter, Wong, there's definitely some lefties that can get to him here in this lineup. I just don't see getting a ballpark like Miami with Cole in a matchup against the Marlins or taking Carlos Martinez at Chase Field in a matchup against the Diamondbacks. I just don't see the point of doing that, even in tournaments and going contrarian. I just don't see the upside.
But Steve, you're a tournament guy, and don't you think that, say, 25-30% of the field's going to be on Cole in tournaments and maybe 5-10 in Martinez? So you don't see any value in that?
Not tonight. Because, okay, like we've already talked about, you guys are on a lot of different hitters than I am, so I'm going to try to take some hitters and some matchups. Like, I'm going to target the Mariners. I'm going to target Bryce Harper. I'm going to target some of these other guys and try to make up my percentages there.
You were talking about third base, by the way, and third base being tough tonight. Matt Carpenter is a phenomenal play at 3.5K, a super safe cash game play. Not a huge upside, but you have to love him against Ruby La Rosa, struggles against lefties, and you want a cheapie. Hopefully he moves up a little bit in the lineup when he's facing a righty. Colton Wong, 2.3K. He's got a speed and power combination that is way too cheap.
Jack in the bag.
There you go. Without
Jack
question.
And a bag. Last note on this game, Ruby De La Rosa continues to carry strikeout upside with his 11.3% swinging strike percentage. He also continues to let balls fly over the fence to lefties. That's obviously his big problem, but he has been deft to right-handed batters this year. I like Ruby De La Rosa in tournaments. The Cardinals have been anemic on offense over the last couple of months.
Honestly, I can't fault you.
Do you realize the last two times I have quote-unquote touted Ruby De La Rosa, he has performed extremely well, and people like you, Dean, have had to come back and kiss my heel?
I've kissed nothing.
Okay.
The only red flag I'm going to throw out, besides the ballpark, because the ballpark is definitely something to worry about here, he has a 16.7 home run to fly ball ratio with a 31% fly ball ratio. So not a great ballpark to target a fly ball pitcher that is struggling with a home run to fly ball ratio issue.
Noted. And we have arrived at the end of the podcast. Today's question of the day, I'm going to answer it, then I want both of you to answer it, then I want all of you who are listening to get on Twitter and answer it. Go ahead and tag all of us. I'm at CrazyGaby, at Dean78904, and at StevieTPFL. Question is, who is the most overhyped player in the history of daily fantasy? That player that you always find yourself wanting to play or recommending, or that you listen to other people who recommend and you end up playing them and maybe give them a little too much respect. I'll tell you who I think it is. I think it's Troy Tulowitzki, most overrated, overhyped player in the history of daily fantasy.
That's ridiculous. That's a horrible take.
Okay. Give me yours then, tough guy.
Well, explain yours first, because why is Troy Tulowitzki overrated and overhyped?
Well, just because every single time, no matter the matchup, no matter the, whether the weather be cold or whether the weather be hot, whether the weather, whatever the weather, whether you like it or not, I mean, it's just...
That didn't mean anything. It just kind of rhymes.
No, it's just bonkers. It's he's always in play, it seems. He's always in
opportunity
play.
Opportunity cost.
He's 5K, and he's always... He doesn't hit home runs anymore. He's not in play. He's not always in play. All right. Listen, this is a purely opinion question, so go ahead and give me yours.
Couldn't have a bad opinion, though. My answer is Jonathan Football. I was very excited about him playing last year when he got the start.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I thought, you know, tons of hype coming in, obviously. I thought he was going to run for 60 yards and score a touchdown. I'm like, well, that's 6 points for the yards on the ground. He's going to run one in. That's six more points. That's 12 points. Everything else is gravy. And I played him in my cash games because of this theory, and it did not work. It was an
no, I remember that week. I remember Johnny F in football week. I had him.
It was so sad.
I had him in my cash games too. That was the week. Who was the other quarterback too that was super cheap that did insane?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick. That was.
I had him that week. That was like week 10 or week 11 or so, something like that. That, you know, I made some money back, but I was in the streets for a couple weeks because of a Jonathan Football. He made me homeless.
All right, Stevie, who is your most overhyped player in the history of daily fantasy?
Robinson Cano.
Ooh, okay.
That's a better answer than Tulowitzki.
Cano gets. If you look at Cano's numbers in the Yankee Stadium, he definitely benefited from. That just a little bit more pop will get you the home runs. We've seen it now that he is out of Yankee Stadium, that he is not a home run hitter. He is way overpaid. Robinson Cano, he should be paying a lot less than what he is.
No, I don't think that is a bad take at all. We want to hear what your takes are. Remember, hit us up on Twitter. I'm at CrazyGaby. He is at Dean78904 and at Stevie, TPFL. Thank you very much for listening, everyone, and please remember to subscribe. Rate and review the podcast. It helps us out on the Google machine, the iTunes machine, all those places where people can find the content we put out. Also, remember to play at FanDuel.com. Keep an eye upcoming this season on the first ever live college fantasy football final. Going to be at the Playboy Mansion, $500K prize purse with $100,000 going to first place. And also check out the upcoming live shows today at 11 o'clock Eastern in the morning, if you happen to be listening to this podcast in time to hear it. Britt Devine and Head Chopper will be heading up the early, I don't know if it's the Rise and Grind or what it's called, the early grind, the leadoff man, whatever it's called, they'll be heading up that show. At 4:30 Eastern, myself and Pepsi will be hanging out. He can talk about Colton Wong's Jack in a Bag with me. At 5:30 Eastern, Dean and STL Cardinals hone down Grinders Live. And at 6:30, as always, EMAC on The Last Call. We will see you guys later. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Head to rotogrinders.com and check out all of our daily fantasy content. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Rotogrinders for breaking news and expert analysis.